Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. I apologize for being a little late this morning because for whatever reason, Mercury is still kicking my little butt and I couldn't get in. I got Zoom started and then as I tried to get my Facebook to seamlessly work with Zoom, it wasn't happening. So it put me behind the times here, but I stayed calm and cool and collected today. I don't know what else to do anymore. It just feels like everything is out of control some days. So grab your cup of coffee, grab your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars today. Good morning to everybody who's checking in right now. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, I see you. And I'm sure there are others that I just haven't seen pop in yet. Welcome. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the moon. We're talking about the Pleiadian Earth energy of the week because we've started a new week. And we have a couple of minor transits that we're going to talk about as well. We're going to dive into the Gate 37 and get a little bit of perspective on what the sun is doing with our human design this week. All right, so let's just start with the moon in Aries today. We are fully in the sign ruled by the planet Mars. And of course, the moon is in a square today to its ruling planet. So we're dealing with a couple of things, all things duplicates, I believe, is how we could look at this. So we're dealing with patience or impatience, action or inaction. You say yes, I say no. We have these dualities that we are working with today. It seems that, you know, the moon in Aries is ruled by the planet Mars, and Mars is in Capricorn. It is requiring steady forward motion. But Mars, the nature of Mars when the moon is in Aries is to do things quick, right? To try to get launch forward, to push oneself out into the world. And that isn't going to be as easy as we think it is today on a day like today. The energies are kind of at once pushing us a little bit and also stopping us from going all the way. And so some people may find that very frustrating. Other people may find that really refreshing. It's almost like holding your foot on the gas and holding your foot on the brake at the same time. And you go nowhere, right? It just sort of spins the wheels. So given that we're still in a Mercury retrograde, it may be a really good thing for us to not have that pushing forward energy as much here during the day today. Mars is also going to sextile Mercury. We spoke a bit about this yesterday because it was already gathering steam and gathering momentum. Mercury, as you know, is retrograde in Pisces, and Mars is in forward motion in Capricorn. And so this is sort of enthusiastic and high energy sort of transit, but it has a couple of problems. One is that spinning the wheels feeling where Mercury is still in retrograde. So we're really not quite sure. We're a little more tentative, let's say, in what direction we're taking or how we're moving forward than we are usually when we're engaged with a Mars transit. But Mars is also in a sign that is sort of, I don't want to say blunt or brusque, but is sort of just action oriented as well, taking the next step in a series that of goals or the method in the steps, you know, the plan, following the plan. And if we are following a plan, then we can find ourselves in a good place. But sometimes this energy of Mercury retrograde in Pisces has our minds wandering off into another world, into another place. We're losing focus. We may be scattered a bit. In that case, Mercury, which rules communication, may cause us with a connection like this to Mars to speak our minds or to say things that we don't mean to say or that are not well thought out. Right? It may be the musings of your mind. Maybe you're needing to have a conversation with someone, but your mind isn't quite clear yet on what it is you need to say. And you end up saying what you, a more reactive version of what it is you need to say, as opposed to the one that is a response enabled, a response that is responsible. Let's put it that way. So we have to watch for speaking our minds today. We want to be able to use that energy of enthusiasm in a positive way. But if you come up against those rocks, those boulders in your way that you're tripping over, then go ahead and slow down and maybe determine if it's a call for you to move into a new direction, to stop altogether for the moment, or to go over, under, do something else for the time being. I had to do that a couple of times yesterday. It's annoying because I'm all prepared for a broadcast, or I'm all prepared for yesterday it was a webinar on March's coming transits for the people in the membership. And I'm 3 minutes into the broadcast when someone texts me and says, "You know, you're not live anymore, right?" Oh, Lord. And then I was like, oh no, I had no clue. So anyway, it's just pretty funny. And technology is behaving differently this week. So it's just okay. Well, you know, I can flow under, over, around. I can get mad. I can get angry. I can throw a temper tantrum. Or I could just say, I wonder what it is I'm supposed to be doing instead right now. So flow, going with the flow. These are lessons, of course, that we have learned, right? These aren't new concepts to us. I think we're just being tested. I don't want to use the word tested either. I think it's just okay. How good are you going to be when the going gets rough, or where there's an obstacle in your path? Are you going to walk your talk, or are you going to succumb? Good questions. Also today, Mercury is in a semi-square to Venus. Now, a semi-square, remember, is a half of a square. A square is a 90-degree angle between planets that produces some challenges and obstacles and can create some havoc for us as we try to move forward with something. And likewise, a half of a square is a half of that challenge, a half of those obstacles. It is more tension around the obstacle. It's not necessarily the obstacle. It's the tension that you might feel. Maybe the mind telling you that you're headed down the wrong direction, or maybe your emotional field telling you you're headed in the wrong direction. Even though there isn't anything, you know, really solid yet that is showing up as an obstacle, it's there. There's this tension. So this tension that we may be feeling today says we're sensitive. And we're sensitive to words. Twice now we're seeing this, right? Speaking our minds with that Mars sextile Mercury, making sure that what you say isn't in impatience or anger, that it's thought out, that it's thoughtful, that it's compassionate. And then Mercury in a semi-square to Venus is going to be affecting our relationships and what we say and how we say it to the people in our lives that we love. So we're sensitive to words. And what that means to me is that we're reading the undertones. We're reading the message of the undercurrent of that particular words that that person is saying, or we're seeing through the words. They may be pretty words, but underneath it, we're sensing that the words and the meaning are not congruent, and that we could be reacting to that undertone or that undercurrent rather than the actual words from the person. And that may be you that is in the state of reaction to the words that are showing up or to the things that other people are saying, or it could be that other people are reacting to the things that you're saying. So the net effect is that we might be in misunderstanding mode today, and it might be best if we moderate our words, and if we're truly not feeling good about something that we must say, then maybe we shouldn't say it today. Maybe we should wait for a day where it's more, giving us some time to cool down or to really moderate what it is we need to say, to get clear within ourselves. Because really, what we're doing at all times, I remember this week I've gotten a couple of different emails, and I can so see the tone of the email. I sense the tone. The words might be paying lip service to niceties, but underneath it, I got the picture, right? I know what it is this person is really trying to say. And it isn't congruent. And therefore, I'm not even responding, because if I respond, I'm going to respond to the undercurrent and not the actual words. So waiting until you get clear yourself, right? We're always projecting. I know you guys have heard the word projection, and maybe you even understand it a little better now. As we talk about it, we usually speak in terms of mirrors, the karmic mirror, or what is that person showing you about you, that kind of thing. It's all about mirrors, and it's all about projection. That's just another word that we could say, where we package up all of our own feelings, all of our own issues, and we project it outward so that it looks like we have another person to blame for our situation, or it looks like we're the victim of somebody else's words or somebody else's actions. But in reality, it is your own projection. So it begs the question, what is it within you that you're reacting to that you didn't want to see clearly? So our work as individuals here is about clearing our own field. It is about, you know, asking that question, what am I reacting to here? What is the problem within me? What does this remind me of? Who in the past has treated me this way, or who has made me feel, who I have felt like this around, that I'm reacting to that rather than the person in front of me? So there's a lot of really cool things that we can do when we become responsible, and when we watch that our words and the tone of voice that we use are the same, right? That we're not saying one thing but meaning another, that there isn't a thinly veiled passive aggression in our words. that is what we have on tap for today. And then you take Mercury retrograde added to that, then sometimes you might be thinking about saying something like that, and next thing you know, to your horror, you've actually said it. So if so, be kind to yourself, be kind to one another. This isn't the day to pick fights, even though you may feel like it is a day to pick fights. It really isn't a good time to do that, right? Okay, I'm going to check back over here at Facebook and see who's joining us this morning. Good morning, Sue McCarthy. Great to see you again with us. Angela, good morning to you. Kathy Miller, good morning. She says, you are describing me on an everyday basis. Mouths and eyes rolling. That's too funny. Ashley, great to see you, my friend. I hope your schooling is going well. And it's really good that you're able to join us live here this morning. And anybody else who I did not say hello to, please know that I just am not seeing your comment, but I know you're there in my heart, and I'll see that comment later. Amy Moore, good morning. I just saw her pop up. And so anyway, it's just, I don't see those comments all at once anymore. What can I do about it, right? Just go with that flow. So today I really, good morning, Suzanne. Oh my gosh, great to see you. We haven't seen you in a while, or at least I haven't. Others might've seen you out there. So this morning, I really want to talk about a couple of different things. The deep part of our conversation today lies with the human design sun at gate 37 and the Pleiadian earth energy at one listening. So we're going to dive in a little bit here. But I'm also going to have to leave part of this story unended as I started to get into this, I realized how really very deep this is. And it's an incredibly difficult thing to try to communicate, first of all, in a Mercury retrograde, but also in a one morning, you know, kind of show. So we might have to, you know, let this sort of roll over into subsequent days. But let's start with one listening energy. If you recall, yesterday we were at the end of the human design week, and we were at 13 yesterday. 13 is the last day of the week. It is the day that we are ascending, if you will. We go into the deep to integrate everything that we've learned along the way. Yesterday was the day of breathing. So it was a day where we were closing up our 13-day week by really going inside and connecting with spirit, connecting with new ideas, connecting with information that is streaming out there from all of the cosmos. Today's energy, of course, now shifts to the new, to the one. The one energy is initiation and new beginnings. There's not much more I need to say about that, right? We're at the beginning of the new level of our evolution. And we do this once every 13 days, we move into a new layer. The layer now takes us into the void that yesterday we wanted to avoid with the number 13. Today, we're moving into the listening energy. Listening energy, by the way, was Akbal in the Mayan calendar. And Akbal was a representation of the night or the dark or the void, the place of nothing, of no nothingness or no thing, right? Just complete. In the absence of light, you have darkness. And how terror-filled that makes the mere mortal, us as humans, where we have nothing, right? We constantly want to fill our world, our voids, with all kinds of things. And I guess that in and of itself isn't a bad thing, because the opposite of the void would be having it filled. But what are we filling the void with? So a day like today gives us the opportunity to consider from a space of meditative quiet and stillness about what we want to fill our void with as we move forward into this week, right? That is the big, deep message of one listening. And because it's a one day, the earth energy of listening holds sway for the next 12 days, today included. So the whole of the 13-day period. So everything that we consider for the next 13 days should also have a quality of listening to it, a meditative consideration, going into the quiet before our first thought even about something. And trust me when I say this is not easy. This is not for the faint of heart, because from the moment we open our eyes, and even from before that even, we may be already in the process of thinking, of putting out thoughts, of not being in the void, of being completely in the cacophony of sound and thoughts and considerations that our typical world is filled with. So here we have to really maybe do some inner work to really find that quiet place where we can be completely still and quiet to listen to the voice of the cosmos. Not the voice of other humans, not the voice of our crazy egos, not the voice of the usual survival, fear-based energies that are, you know, plaguing our planet, but the true voice of the cosmos. So it requires us to dive into that void, swim in the deep, if you will, rolling in the deep, right? Going into that deep world, that quiet place where deep transformation is possible. Deep transformation is only activated when we are in the deep, right? When we are in the void. We have to remember universal truths. To remember those universal truths, we have to turn off all those other beliefs and all of those other truths and all the little quote truths that we take for granted. So we find ourselves on a day with a possible new beginning, but one that takes us first into the very quiet recesses of the universe. And that is not going to be an easy thing for us to do with 1, Mercury in retrograde, 2, Mars sextile Mercury, 3, Mercury in a semi-square to Venus. So we are going to have to sort of fight against the tide. And let me reframe that, because it's not really a fight. We're going to have to make a choice. It's a choice to go into the deep. It's a choice to go into the quiet space. And that is a choice that we need to remember throughout everything that we do over the next several days, right? Next several days. All right. Questions, comments, concerns. Let's see what people are saying. Good morning, Colleen. She says, I want to call someone out in the worst way, but I won't. Truly not worth my energy. Well, and you're so right, Colleen. And I've been there. And I get there, right? I called out Macy's yesterday. I called out Wave Broadband yesterday because they sent me a survey. You should never send me a survey after you screw me over, because I'm going to tell you what I think. And I did that. And I found myself in a titanic struggle of trying to maintain my calm, to stay as objective as possible without getting personal and attacking the people who would receive the survey. So I get it. It's such a struggle for us sometimes, because we're so used to just wanting to say what's on our mind, cut you down to size. And trust me when I say that isn't going to work. And hold, please, because I want to check something. I remembered seeing that Mars was sitting at the gate 10. Is he still there? Mars, where are you? Yeah. No, he's now in the gate of joy, the gate of creating joy in our lives. But for a while, Mars in the last couple of weeks was sitting at the gate 10. And the gate 10 in human design, we sometimes call the verbal slicer and dicer, because it is a gate where we can sometimes get into pissing contests with people, and we can say things that are designed to cut them up instead of to empower them. Our choices to become empowering, and instead we can slice and dice. We call it the verbal gunslinger energy. And actually, that isn't even my phrase. That came from my teacher in talking about this particular energy at this particular gate. So while, you know, we are, you know, wanting to say what's on our minds, we really need to learn to be able to control our response to what is happening and do a gut check. And Colleen, good for you for being able to do that, even though, and let's say that there are things that need to be said, because maybe there is. We have to be able to find a way to say what needs to be said without personalizing it, without making it a personal affront or a personal attack. Because if that is the case, then it's not about love, then it is all about more anger or fear that you're not loved. So Marianne Williamson says this very clearly, that anything fear is a call for more love. So that's what's happening there for you, Colleen. It's a call for more love. And anyway, not that that makes that person not wrong or, not guilty of something, but it's more about you being clean in your interaction with that person and in your handling of that particular thing. All right. Now, I want to, I don't see any other questions about that. Colleen does say something. Yes, I agree. I will eventually say it, but now is the time to pause. Good for you, girl. Good for you. Pause. And then, you know, when you do get around to saying it, you'll probably come from a completely different place. And then what you say may come out more empowered or empowering, depending on the subject, instead of cutting up or cutting down someone. So there's definitely worthiness to allowing yourself to hold space before you say something, especially today, but maybe even going on into this whole 13-day week, because listening is our weak point. Wouldn't you agree? Right? It's hard for us to listen because we want to react and we want to say what we need to say in the moment. And I did this the other day. I wrote an email back to someone out of a reaction, and I luckily sent it to someone else before I sent it, because I thought, oh my God, this might sound a little bit bad. And in truth, it was. And luckily, I was able to delete it and not send it. So we have to, you know, monitor our own actions. And that's part of our becoming responsible. Okay. So deep transformation is what it's all about during this full 13-day week. But we do that by activating our memories, our universal truths from the void, right? From the place of no thing. Not an easy task. I get it. I don't even know that I could do it, but I'm going to try. Okay. Now, let me go back one last time here, see if there are any other comments that I need to take care of. Oh, how did I end up here? I'm not sure where I just ended up. Do you ever notice how sometimes with a Mercury retrograde, what really shows up is how you are your own self-sabotager? How, you know, you just click the mouse and voila, everybody's gone. I do this all the time. It's too funny. Okay, so let's go back here to now our next discussion, which is about the Gene Key 37. The Gene Key 37 is a gate, and I'm going to share my screen really quickly so that I can show you the just now chart. And I apologize because the site that I like to use to do this has this banner over the top here that I do not know how to get rid of. And so it cuts the chart off. And this is on Jovian Archive. And by the way, any of you can go to this site. Up here in the resources, you can see where it says a just now chart. I can click on that and it will update the chart for me to the current time, as opposed to the time I used this morning when I first got up and went on to do this. So I wanted to show you where the gate 37 is. It sits down here on the solar plexus. So the moment you see it on the solar plexus, you got to go, aha, this is about emotional energy. This is about learning how to use the emotions in an appropriate way. The emotional energy here in the sun meets up with the earth on the ego or the will center at gate 40. Forming this entire channel, which is often called the channel, the line of marriage or the channel of community. We often look at this channel in human design as a part that's seeking a whole. So we have the message here behind the scenes is that this is the coming together, the joining of our emotions to our heart. We often call this center here the heart center. It's called the heart center, the will center, the ego center, but more appropriately, often it is called the heart center. And it is the center of willpower, managing our resources. And at this particular gate, the resource we're managing are our connections to community, to tribe, to family, to a partner. So here is a deep connection. When you see these two connected, this is where that person, and you may have this in your own chart. If you don't have it in your chart natally, defined natally, you have it whether it's defined or not. If you have this defined, this is always an ongoing experience that you have of wanting to bond, of wanting to come together in community, to be a part of something, but also to be an individual as part of that group, that bigger experience, the individual experience all coming together in this particular channel. Those of you who normally have this white, or maybe it's hanging, and hanging means maybe only part of it is defined. This week, then, you'll be working on how to become the part of a whole, or maybe you're working on a relationship, or maybe you're, you know, broadening your horizons and connecting to community, because this is a very interesting dynamic here that implies family or family alchemy, I believe is how Richard puts this, Richard Rudd from the Gene Keys. The highest expression, the siddhi in this gate, the gate 37, is tenderness. The gift is equality, and the lowest expression is weakness. And this is, we're going to tread into some territory here where I may step on some toes. If I do, I'm sorry. It's a more universal truth we're talking about here. So just know it isn't my intention to hurt anybody's feelings or to tread on anybody's beliefs. But this is part of the problem, right? Where your feelings get hurt or you are holding on so tightly to beliefs that you completely divide yourself off from someone else when you hear something new. So be open-minded right now. So this gate, this 37 really marks our current age of Pisces, and especially the shadow part of this energy, the weakness part of this energy. And as you all know, we are very clearly in the process of transitioning to the age of Aquarius. Many people will tell you, Tom and I have this conversation often about the different markers, things that we would see if we were really in an age of Aquarius. And some people will tell you we're 500 years away from that still. Other people will tell you we entertained that way back in the 60s when Uranus and Pluto had their conjunction. Other people will tell you that I'm feeling like we're on the cusp of this. And remember that this is an age energy, and an age is 26,500 some years. So even if we were at a 500 year margin before we enter into that age, we are already at the bullet burn point of moving into the age of Aquarius. Why? Because when you juxtapose that 500 little years against the whole of 26,500 years, it's the very smallest part. So even in your astrology, if you have a planet that's within a couple of degrees of the next sign, we say you were born on the cusp. I was born with my sun at 28 degrees Gemini, but I'm at the cusp of Cancer. So I'm pulling in quite a bit of that Cancer energy, even though I'm not a Cancer. So if we're sitting here at the precipice of the age of Aquarius, we are really pulling in the energy of that Aquarius age, even though we're still technically in the age of Pisces. All right, that's not the part that I was going to trip, you guys will trip over, but that's coming. So the age of Pisces has been dominated by the mythology of the Christ myth of Christianity. Here's where we're going to step on toes. Now, I want you to understand something about the number 37. So some of you may know numerology. Others of you may understand Hebrew numerology specifically. The number 37 in Hebrew numerology, which is also called gematria, I think is how you say it, or gematria, is the number of Christ. So 37 represents the figurehead of Christianity, i.e. the gematria of 37 is about the energy of Christ. The energy of Christ, not the person, right? So it's not about Christ the man or even the divine being. It is Christ, the energy Christ. So where we are right now is that about, we're in a major pole shift, I think it is that we call this, where things are about to flip, right? We think it's the magnetic poles that are shifting, and indeed they are, but that magnetic pole shift is so much more than just the mechanics of the magnetic pole shifting. There's a shift going on in our society, and that is that we are moving out of the specific Christ mythology that we have been a part of as the second part of the Holy Trinity. And we're moving in to embody the third part of that Trinity, the Holy Ghost or Spirit or divine, the divine spirit, the divine aspect. So we had the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, if you will, which really represents our dependence on somebody outside of us, like a father, a benevolent figure. And then later in history comes along a brother or a cohort, a colleague, if you will, a person of our own same being that we connect with. And so it's the Son. But now we are becoming embodied Christ. And that means we are really embodying the Spirit. Okay. Now, the power behind the Christ myth as we move more forward into this age of Aquarius and use the energy of the gift in the gate 37 it won't go away. It's not like we're dumping all of that, but it will change. It will morph. And the more that it changes, the more hidden secret knowledge comes up to the surface. What was the real truth behind the myth? Because as you know, if any of you have ever studied the history of Christianity, it was written by man. It wasn't really, it was taken and put out of context. And the including the Bible, whose books of the Bible were put together via a group of people, men that met in Nicaea that created the books of the Bible. So we don't even have a clear view of what the divine message really was, because it's been put through the filter of humans who can only, at that point especially, only entertain it at the level that we were in, which was through fear. Right? The fear field, the survival energies on the planet. Remember, we're at this precipice. We're coming to this point where we're moving out of fear energy and we're moving into that gift energy in our human design or in our gene keys, but we're moving into the more emotional intelligence of the solar plexus away from the fear and the instinctual survival energies of the spleen. So we have to let go. Our mythologies have to change in order to, and they are changing and they will change to represent more fully that evolutionary leap that we're taking. So then the power doesn't change behind the myth. It's the truth behind the myth that actually comes up to the surface for us to interpret differently. So our interpretation of the myth, let's say, is changing. Now, I'm not the only one on this planet who has noticed, I guarantee this because I see it written everywhere, I'm not the only one, you're not the only one who may have noticed this flood coming in of these new mythic feminine images and archetypes. right? They're entering our collective consciousness. They're entering through our, first of all, the planets that we've discovered that are being named after the feminine, right? Feminine figures in mythology. We see it through the rise of things like the hashtag Me Too movement. We saw it back in the 70s and maybe it was even the 60s with the true feminist movement that began there, where women were burning their bras, etc. So historically, if we go back to the 60s, this is where we could kind of pinpoint where this shift began. And like all shifts, it often starts in the more conflict and confrontational. And then slowly, as it builds momentum, it moves into the more balanced expression of the energy. So again, here we are at this very crux of this energy shifting out of the mythic masculine and into an embracing of the more mythic feminine. Enter in the word weakness. Weakness was the shadow in this energy. And it is literally just a projection of the male psyche out onto the female psyche, right? Remember, in ages past, the masculine energy, the masculine hierarchical aggression or more young energy overtook the planet. The planet and the matriarchal, the more feminine yin energy, right, for a time. And what has happened over that period of time is that that masculine psyche has overtaken the feminine. Now, if we look at that, even in the midst of the Christ mythology, right, the religious Christ mythology, we have this thought about surrender. And surrender is as a weakness. So the myth of Christ is about surrender and how there's a hidden meaning there about weakness. So Christ surrendering to the forces that overpower him leads him to resurrection. Do you think that might be the model of something that we need to look at here? Not the physical image of this, right? There's this hidden message here that surrender is not a weakness, that we've had this upside down, i.e. a pole shift is about to happen, as this 37th shadow of weakness is showing us the inequality of the yin-yang forces on the planet right now. And that leads us to understand our misinterpretation of duality, right? Yin and yang. Yin can't exist without yang. Yang can't exist without yin. That's why you see them in that perpetual motion, that Ouroboros kind of energy, that energy of the mythic eight, right? Where we can't have one without the other. And the survival of the fittest that Darwin brought to us has really kind of squared, empowered, cemented that idea of that weakness needs to be weeded out, right? That our idea of weakness as something that's not something we want in our genome or that is not preferable to strength. So we have this very masculine, dominant, aggressive energy that has been selected as preferred over the more feminine, interpreted as weak or more passive energy. I'm going to stop sharing. By the way, I just wanted to make sure you guys saw this. I'm going to stop sharing the screen. I want to go over and see how my people in the morning here are doing with this. Judy Wheeler, good to see you this morning. And Sue says, yep, she's seeing this more. Jacqueline Lopez, good morning. She's seeing that too. And yes, and I have a bit of an issue telling my sister that. You and me both, right? But again, this is about us individually, right? I can't blame my sister for being a part of this Christianity myth and for, you know, I just can't, because that's going the same route as creating division. Right? We don't want more division. We got enough of that. Now we need to bring things together. So this 37th shadow, as I was saying, shows us the inequality of those yin-yang forces on the planet. And then that leads us to that misinterpretation of duality, right? We can't have light without dark. We can't have dark without light. We have to be able to see these dualities as necessary, right? That they are different sides of the same coin, and that without one, you don't have the other, right? We can't see the light if we don't have the dark. We can't see the dark if we have only light. And so here we have to start a new paradigm, a new mindset away from the survival of the fittest. And in truth, physical brute force, physical endurance, and physical strength no longer governs our future. Sorry, masculine energy, you no longer govern what happens here. We are in the process of recognizing that those who push their way to the top through brute strength, through power, through subversion, lose their power ultimately to those who had a vision of a better world, of a transforming world, of a world that's based in more equality. What do you think all of these issues are all about? I found an article. What was it this morning? I think it was the state of Arizona. No, New Mexico. New Mexico just passed red laws, they're called, about guns. And as soon as you start reading that, you just see the two sides, right? They're on opposite sides, but they don't see they're on opposite sides of the same coin. And that coin is about the laws around guns, right? Guns. So we have the pro guns, we have the anti guns, but what they don't see is they're both talking about the same thing, just coming at it from different sides. And immediately, no matter who you are, that subject is going to trigger something within you where you're going to come down on the side of guns because the Constitution says you have your guns, or you're going to come down on the other side that says we need to be more, you know, reasonable about use of guns, et cetera, et cetera. So right there in your face, in just one little article, is the problem on the planet that is in the process of being healed. And that is division, having taken that energy of duality, ultimately that dominance of the masculine energy on the planet, and turned it into a divisive tool as opposed to something that brings us together. And anyway, so the repressed feminine is rising, thus changing the basic patterns of our roles here on the planet. And here's another problem that happens when we start talking about masculine and feminine is we end up in gender as opposed to energy. So these are forces of energy, masculine energy, more yang energy, feminine energy, more yin energy, more passive energy, more dark energy and quiet energy, more passive, I guess you could say, than the masculine energy, which is more projecting outward. It is more about the light and the aggressive or assertive action. So those are energies, not gender roles. We've, again, misinterpreted those energies to be embodied within us as individuals. So because I'm a woman, I should only be feminine. And because you're a man, you should only be masculine. And of course, all of that is changing on the planet as yin is rising, but it's right now in the process of being confused with gender, right? As women are struggling for equal pay, as women are struggling for an equal voice, as women are struggling against, it seems, a patriarchy hell-bent on using and abusing them. And so this struggle is a gender struggle, but the energies don't see it that way, right? So it's not an us versus them. This is becoming sort of a, this isn't women becoming the supreme power on the planet. This is about the gift in the Gate 37, which is about equality. Both energies taking their place, right? The pole shift is about the masculine serving the feminine here, as opposed to what it has been, which is upside down, the wrong way, where the feminine has been made to serve the masculine. Now, I'm going to go back to a human design chart because I want to show you where this shows up so beautifully in our human design. Hold on, I got to get rid of that. Come on, don't do that. No, I don't want to end the meeting. There we go. I want to share my screen. Let's see. I guess I'm going to have to go back here first to our just now chart. And I'm going to share. Okay, so you guys should be seeing the screen again. We've had this conversation before, but I want to remind you of this. There are two major circuits in the tribal circuitry. There is the survival energies that we see connected to the feminine side over here, and also from the masculine side over here. This is a part of the tribal circuitry. Now, the tribal circuitry has an ego circuit and it has a defense circuit. So circuitry, the bigger tribal circuitry, but two sub-circuits, if you will. One is defense and the other is ego. So we have to understand what we mean by the word defense. I'm not saying defensive. I'm saying defense, right? So on this side is the divine feminine energy. On this side, we have the divine masculine energy. The divine feminine energy is based in the gate 50, which is about the laws, the values, the rules, education needed, the way that we will govern a tribe, a community. On the other end of that channel is the gate 27, which, by the way, has Uranus sitting at it right now, is about the demand to feed, clothe, house, educate, heal the people of a tribe. So it is the role of the divine feminine to lay down the rules, to make the demands, to write the laws that support the health of the tribe or the family, if you will, and that the rules or the laws or the values of the tribe are expressed through nurturing and caring and feeding and educating and even in some way disciplining when, you know, kids, for example, need to have discipline, need to be aware where they're going wrong, right? Have to have consequences. That is the role of the divine feminine. The role of the divine masculine over here, the gate 59, is a gate of sexuality and action. It is on the sacral, but its action is about going out and doing what needs to be done to protect the tribe, to protect the values of the tribe that have been laid down by the divine feminine. The divine masculine is in support of the values of the tribe laid down by the divine feminine, and then moves that out into the emotional center, where it then becomes the protective energies. The intimacy of a tribe is dependent upon the protection of the tribe. Protection meaning that we have our fields of food that are protected from the elements, from the animals perhaps, or from marauding tribes from the north, whatever, right? This is, you know, our ancient beginnings here. And that is the role of the divine masculine: protection, support of, taking the rules and making sure that they're followed, right? So it's almost like the matriarchy got stepped on and the masculine took over everything, right? The patriarchy took over, and the problems then stem from them being out of alignment with the right energy. They're not in their right energy. The right energy of the planet, of a culture, is when the divine feminines will be done. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to, thankfully we're mostly women here, so you probably will understand exactly what this means in a way that's not about a power struggle with the man. It's not about the gender role. This is the masculine energy. The masculine energy embodied in the man has taken on this role that is not necessarily the correct role for them, right? And the divine feminine almost has acquiesced, given away the role that she was meant to occupy. So then I was thinking about it this way. In a family, right, this is the gate or gene key of family alchemy. The more traditional role was that the woman, and this is for you women, we've had to become super women, right? Because not only have we had to go out in the work world and, you know, hold down a job and, you know, bring home the bacon, we also are holding down the fort at home. right? We're still having to take care of kids and make sure they're fed and clothed and that they are nurtured and so that they could grow up and be really, you know, good human beings. So we've had a dual role that we've had to take on here. And where was I going with this? Oh, in any family dynamic, it is usually the mother that is laying down the rules, right? That this is, you go to bed at 9 o'clock or whatever, you eat your three meals, you wash your own clothes, or you make your bed before you go to school, whatever the rules are that support the family is usually enforced by the mother. And I remember so many times my mother saying, if you don't do this, then I will go to your dad, right? So the dad then, the masculine becomes the enforcer, the protector of the rules, of the values, of the laws. So we even in our families, naturally sort of align ourselves with this masculine feminine energy in its right way. It's just in that outer world, in those power structures of the outer world, that it got kind of mixed up and crazed. So again, this isn't about gender. This isn't about because you're a woman, you need to only do these things. It's not that at all. And because you're a man, you do these things. It's these bigger energies that we have to pull shift to put them back in their right and perfect order, right? Restoring the masculine to its role of protection and enacting and taking care of, and the divine feminine in her role of laying down the values of the tribe. What are we going to live by? What do we care about? Well, we care about our progeny growing up safe, secure, fed, educated, etc. So I'm going to end it here with this energy, with this thought today about this pole shift where the masculine is in service to the feminine, and that we as human beings have flipped that, and that we are in a process of flipping it back to its right roles. All right. Questions, comments, what everybody's saying out there. Judy says, yes, we're super multitaskers, but again, that's the gender role that you're taking on, not the divine feminine energy. Jacqueline says, oh, okay, it's okay. They can huff and puff. They also need to learn they have both also. Indeed, absolutely, but that's something all of us need to understand. Sue McCarthy says, grandmother ruled the tribe. Exactly. And that's another interesting byproduct of the way the world has been for us in this recent past, is that we don't value our elders in the same way, the wisdom of the tribe, the wisdom of the elders. And in fact, you know, in times past, it was the elders that everybody went to for guidance, right? They would defer almost to the elders as they had gained wisdom through experience, through life lessons, through just time and longevity. And that's something that, you know, now they just shove off the grandparents off to the, you know, old folks home, not really, you know, taking care of them and or taking responsibility for nurturing the elders. So crazy, crazy thing that has happened in our very complex and crazy society that has really undermined who we are. It has undermined our very survival, if you ask me, and that we are in this evolutionary leap to move things back to a more balanced expression of the masculine and feminine, which eventually shakes all of the other systems up. And you can see them, they're all in shakeup mode, and that they can settle into a new equality. After all, that is what we're looking for, the new equality. And it isn't about gender. It's about masculine, feminine energies in balance, honoring of both. Okay, elders are the guides. Yes, they are. Let's flip this quickly. I'm with you, Sue. I don't know that it can flip that quickly. By the way, that evolutionary leap is scheduled for 2027. That is literally only 7 years away. So the work that we're doing now on ourselves, embodying our divinity, understanding that that polarity and division is a symptom of our inability to understand duality correctly, all of these things that we're learning about now are all in service to that evolutionary leap that we are taking. And what's happening is we're allowing more and more light into our DNA. Thus, the reason we want to study the gene keys and really learn to understand more about who we are as we allow more and more of that light to be transduced through our DNA and out into the world. All right. So much good stuff. But right now it looks a little crazy in the outer world. So next, tomorrow I will not be on air. I have to go to the doctor and have my blood drawn and do all that fun stuff. So I won't be here tomorrow morning. I'll probably write up something and post it for you all. This afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific time, go to the Angel Heart Radio Facebook page, and I will be on Zoom live with Annette McCoy. Today, we're going to take up the subject of Saturn's move into Aquarius. And interesting, because Saturn moving into Aquarius, into another sign that he is a co-ruler with. And how will that be different than what the time of Saturn in Capricorn was? It should be interesting. And we're staring down, you know, the move of Saturn into Aquarius as that occurs next month. So that is it for me today. Everybody take care. Have a wonderful day. I will see you Friday morning, unless I see you this afternoon. By the way, when we do, we're going to attempt to do this today, do readings on Zoom during our talk. So hopefully we can figure out a way to do that. And if you would like a reading, just let me know. A mini reading. It's really just a mini one. Okay, guys, that's it for me. Take care. I will see you on Friday morning. Take care.